you do things in life, you do all kind of things. You hunt and you fish and you work and you travel and you visit and many things, you know, that you really enjoy. You know, Peter, he said, I go fishing. And when he get disgusted, he go fishing. Some people get disgusted, they go hunting. But anyway, you do a lot of things that you really enjoy through life. But when you stop and consider as to whether it be a career or making money or whatever it might be, when you stop and deeply, seriously consider it, it's all vanity, isn't that right? The Bible said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, Solomon said. And he had everything that life could wish for, but he said it's all vanity. And said, not only is it vanity, but it vexes my spirit. And sure enough, these things that are in the natural and these things that are in the world, they are vanity and they are vexation of the spirit. They will vex your spirit. Now, if you're of the world and you've never been born again and you've never come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't vex you. Because you'll enjoy doing whatever the world does. You know, whether it's ball games or whether it's wrestling or whether it's fighting or fussing or drinking or whatever. But a person that is really, truthfully, a genuine Christian, they cannot enjoy a ball game. They abhor a ball game. And they cannot enjoy wrestling and they cannot enjoy those things that are out in the world that belong to the carnal mind and belong to the flesh. They can't enjoy drinking beer. And cursing and fighting and all these kind of things. It would vex the very life out of a Christian if they should be kept in the environment of those things. The Bible says concerning Lot. Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I suppose that Lot perhaps was not as devoted as Abraham. Because Abraham, he chose the plains. He recognized right off that he didn't want the city life. Because of the vexation. But Lot, he took the city life. And the Bible says that Lot, even Lot was a righteous man. And the Bible said those things down in Sodom and Gomorrah vexed the soul of that righteous man from day to day. And he was literally vexed by those things. And I know of a truth myself. If anything is not godly, if a conversation is not godly, if the environment is not godly, if things aren't godly around me, I get exceedingly vexed. I just can't be still. I have to move. I have to go. I have to do something. I just can't stand it. And I know because of that, that many of you, you know, you're the same way. So all the things that you do out there in the natural, they're vanity and they're vexation of spirit. And they'll pass away. And you'll pass away because if you're of the world, then you'll pass away and all that is in the world shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And even the heaven, as to the second heaven, is defiled. And it'll pass away. And we're going through the stages of the second heaven. You know, there's first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And Paul said, such a one that I knew was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that was not permissible for him to speak, being as one born out of season. And of course, you know, you go through a heaven and you go through another heaven and you go through another heaven. And then after a while, you get around to the third heaven. And we are at this time entering into the third heaven. Now, I look out there and I see you and I know I'm speaking to people over the radio and sometimes over TV and whatever, sometimes in books. But I look out there and I see you and I think, now, how many of these people are, let me say it like this, creatures, as we refer to it in the earth, creatures that are preordained for the third heaven. How many people do we have out there that are children of the coming world? Now, someone will say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, when the first world made its cycle and come around, then those that belonged to the first world was excluded and they were no more. And then the second world come around, and they that were for the second world at the end of the cycle were excluded. And then the third world started to coming around, and now they that are of the third world are going through their cycle. Now, someone would say, well, when did all these worlds ever come around like this? Well, the Bible speaks of the days of Noah, and there was 2,000 years of that world. And the Bible said, and the world passed away with a great deluge. The water overflowed the world. And the Bible said every high hill under heaven was covered. There wasn't one showing. And so the world passed away with water. And then Peter, when Calvary came, he spoke of it. He said, now ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so the second deluge set in, and this time it was a bath of blood. And blood has overflown the world. See, blood started right after Noah. And it reached on over to Calvary. It has been a bloodbath. And everything was reconciled to God by blood. There was nothing that was reconciled to God except by blood. And the Bible said without the spilling of blood, there was no remission. And so then it was blood. And sometimes they would kill maybe 1,000, 5,000, or maybe more of cattle at one time and spill their blood as to appease God. And of course, a lot could be said about that. But nevertheless, when we come over to Calvary, then the supreme sacrifice of the spilling of blood, being Jesus, that ended it, that brought it to an end. And that was the second world that passed away. And of course, blood has still been upon many people since then, those that did not get reconciled through Calvary. So, from that time on, the third world started. And now we're almost at an end of the cycle of the third world. 2,000 years from the garden down to Noah, and 2,000 years from Noah down to Calvary, and almost 2,000 years from Calvary down to the translation or the change. And of course, it's already set in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we said that Mr. Bush, there's an old legend, you've heard about it. I heard about it when I first went to Israel, that George defeated the dragon. And sure enough, George went in, and George Bush is in there, and his administration, calendar-wise, runs right into the tribulation period to bring about the end again of another 2,000 years. And of course, the dragon is right there ready to devour the child. At this time, the world is heavy with child to the extent it's trying to find its supreme leader. And all of a sudden, Mr. Bush goes to the throne, and there is, of course, while the woman is to a miracle travailing, he comes forth, and there is the communist power as to the red dragon laying right in there ready to devour the child. But as it was said, the child went up to the third heaven. The child went up into the third heaven, and then the dragon was cast out, and the woman went away into a wilderness. So, as to the world, Mr. Bush was caught up, and Gorbachev hasn't been able to get to him in spite of all. He's held his integrity and his supremacy, and we could say a lot about a present-day revelation as to what is going on right now. But he went up, and here's the gays all marching around, and the old red dragon, you know, he's been cast out into the earth, and he is, at this time, he is angry, and the Bible said he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's either with the gays, or it's with going to war, or it's the whites wanting their rights, or the blacks wanting their rights, or the Chinese, or the Japanese, or the Philippines, or whatever it is. You know, the Philippines, whatever it might be, they're all wanting their rights. This day that's called the Laodicean Age, lukewarm are people's rights. And the Bible said altogether the tables of God are filled with vomit because of the religious societies of today. And as I've said, as long as people are non-religious, the world will continue. When everybody becomes religious, I told you years ago, the end of the world will come. Because if you're cold, not knowing anything about God, then comes grace. And if you're hot, then comes the blessing of God. If you're caught in between, then you are spewed out of his mouth. So then we see that this great thing is taking place. And sure enough, when Mr. Bush got into his office, the first thing he cut down on was the old red dragon, and he boycotted against China. communist China and told our people not to give them anything because of the slaughter as to those people over in China. So it is still laying in there for the expulsion. We spoke about that, that is to the problems with Russia when they had the problems, and see that thing is to the expulsion or the excommunication when it comes to the United Nations. I know a lot of times we don't think of things maybe in a spiritual way, but Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as spirituals. And seeing that God is a spirit, then we have to be born again, leaving the natural to become a spiritual being, as to be one of those for the third world. And things are still in the makings. You know, it's still yet to come. Some more things as concerning Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Bush and the expulsion. So then things is happening. And I can look around and I can see some of these things. As I say so often, when I looked into heaven, I saw these things, and these things were taking place in heaven. Because in heaven, that's the spirit. And the Bible said, if you walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Bible says that we're not in the flesh, but we're in the spirit, in that we're to consider ourselves dead as to the body of this death, that by Calvary and at death our spirit went back to God who gave it, and we are they that dwell in heaven, that we should be able to rejoice forevermore. For all these things that happen, they won't come nigh your dwelling, for inwardly you're born to the great loving Holy Spirit, and you're sealed by this wonderful seal of God to where the evil one can never touch you. All right, so you're able to keep yourself from sin, and you're walking with the Lord. He's perfected you forever, as we say, and you're his precious children. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like as to the change, but will with the redemption of our body and the change will come. So then we are not in the world. So when the devil is cast out into the world, that means that we don't have any problem with him. But woe unto them that are carnally minded. Woe unto them that have the love of the world in them. Woe unto them that like ball games and wrestling and eating and drinking and frolicking and passions and reveling in money and businesses and prestige and wanting to be a celebrity and a dignitary and wanting to have things in life, you know, of all of the natural things. Woe unto those people that have that kind of love and desire. For the devil is among you, and the Bible said he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we are different. We are children of light. We're not children of intellectual ignorance, as to say darkness. This great light of God is to Christ, or this great spirit of light is to the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, and it hath shined in darkness. For gross darkness covereth the people as to the end time. And then the Bible said it shall come to pass that there shall be light. So the light that springs up among the people as to the end time, really speaking of Calvary, as to the third world. And the Bible says, and the day star will dawn in your heart. And so when Christ come, being the light of the world, the Bible said, and this light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. For as it is written unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of darkness, great light is springing up unto them. And yet they comprehended it not. But it is said of you and I, being not children of darkness, then this thing is not hid to us. So then the Bible says concerning these things that the day star will dawn in our heart, and we will comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful mystery of God, as to the finishing of the mysteries of God, as to the rent veil or the revelation of the great thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And Christ will be revealed within you, because you as an individual are rent in twain or two as to the separation of your spirit from your body, and your body being now dead but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then your angelic being at death or sleep went back to God who gave it, and you're now completely free from the body. And inasmuch as the Bible speaks of sin as being sinful flesh, then you cannot sin because you are not in the flesh. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. So that in that the sinful part in which Satan dwells, that is to say, Paul said, within my flesh dwelleth no good thing, that body being dead, now dead and buried, then you are baptized for the dead in the name of the Lord Jesus, losing the identity of the bastard child image and his prestige in life, and you're now resurrected as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not you living, but Christ that liveth within you, and the life you now live, you live by the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. You now have royal blood flowing through your vein, and the blood is to the old red dragon, as to the passion life, and the corruptible life is now gone. It ended at Calvary. All right, I look out here and I look to see who is the creatures of the third world. Who is it that belongs to the third world? Those that belong to the third world, who are they? All right, so what are we doing? We're entering now into the third world. We've already entered into it. That is, say, from Calvary, we've already entered into it. But nevertheless, we're coming down to the end of that third world now, and this 2,000 years will have been finished. And of course, that will finish the world. There won't be any more that will finish it. After this, it will all be gone. And the millennium will come in as to 1,000 years, not 2,000, but 1,000 years, which will be the time of restoration, the removing of the curse, and the people entering into that dispensation. Now someone will say, well, Brother Pike, you mean that they'll enter into that world as to the millennium? No, that's not their world. See, when this world ends as to the third world, it will end just like the first world. And it will end just like the second world. And who's ever in this third world, it will end, you know, as to the natural people. And that will be it. But there is, in this third world, a people that will not die. There is, in this third world, a people that has entered into life that will go through this third world, because this third world is for them. And as the second world overlaps, this will go through the third cycle, and these people will live forever and ever and forever. They'll have eternal life. Not going to get eternal life, but in that they've been born again, they're already sons of God, and they already have eternal life. And what a great honor, the Bible said, God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Even though the world doesn't recognize us and the world doesn't see us, yet we are already the sons of God, having passed from death unto life, having all things already as our own, as that which pertains to life. So then that means we're coming now to the end of the cycle. And I know a lot of questions arise. You know, we brought this out not too long ago, calendar wise. A lot of questions arise, and I'm asked a lot of questions, and folks ask God a lot of questions, as well as Brother Pike. And they ask one another a lot of questions. But coming into this, you know, we see that everything is set for about 92 or 93. As a matter of fact, this thing that they sent up as a satellite, this great telescopic thing, they found it won't work. They've run into a problem. Now they've got to pick it up and redo it, and it won't be coming around into its cycle till about 92 or 93, as to say, to penetrate. So we see that God's making everything work on time. And, of course, the world money as to the one money as to a monetary power. It'll be one money, it'll bring it around, and already the mark of the beast is set in to this extent that it's already on the goods around the store. You can't tell it, and I can't tell it unless you understand. But if you'll take the canned goods and all these other goods, you'll find that within the radius of those little lines, there is a six and a six and a six. It's already on there, and the laser can pick it up, and already they're getting ready to confiscate. And the Antichrist is getting ready to come on the scene. And, of course, even Mr. Gorbachev is showing something with the mark on his head like it is. The Bible said, and the King of the North shall come. So then already he's coming in with flattery, and the Bible said he would come in with flattery and he'd overthrow many people. And sure enough, he steps out of the car over in the midst of our people here in America. And he says, "I feel right at home, so that I can tell that you people want the good life." And everything's working right around. And so then now they're getting ready to pick the laser, that is, put the mark in your head or in your hand, so that they can control humanity because they can't keep up with them. And we said something the other day about them doing away with the IRS in general as to their approach as to these things, because they've got too much tax evasion. And they're going to narrow it down, as we say, to a tax as to a sale tax. And bringing in this thing as to the sales tax, then that means that you won't be able to escape income tax, because you've got to eat and you've got to drink. And of course, that will bring in what we said concerning the effects and power and control of the Antichrist as to the mark of the beast, because the Bible says that you'll not be able to eat nor drink, that is to buy or sell, unless you have this mark. So they're going to narrow it down, and instead of your bank account, you know, it'll just be a number as transferred from your account as to your worth. And they've already changed it from the value of money as to the absolute, which we call the standard in the land, you know, and that is silver, gold. They've already took that away, and it's just a federal note now. We spoke of that before it come to pass, and it came to pass. And now they're going to make that third step, and it's just going to be a number. And you'll just go down to the local store, you know, and you'll be in a numerical order. And there they'll just, through numerology, they'll just identify you, and your name won't mean nothing. It'll just be an identification as to his name, for the number of his name is Vicarius Filia Dei, which means Vicar of Christ, or instead of God, and it is 666 in its numerical order. And the Bible said, "Count this number, for it is the number of a man. Let him that hath wisdom count this number," or who, to whomsoever this has been revealed, let him acknowledge this, and let the people know this, and to some of you has it been revealed. All right, so we see the old dragon on the move. We see things happening. And I could go on and go on and go on, but I'm just going to mention this one little thing. I hope you don't mind if I talk to you sometimes on Sunday morning. I get to talking to you and your minds are open and you're relaxed, and I just relate a few things to you. But anyway, I made the statement here a number of days back, quite a long while back. Now I said, and what is going to happen is that the places like the Arctic is going to melt down, and it's going to lose its snow and ice. And the glaciers as to the snow caps are going to melt down, and the mountains are going to be barren again. And I said that this ice and this snow that is on the mountains and that is covering the Arctic. We've been there to the Arctic Circle. I'm sure you must have been there at Norway, and we've seen this. And we said in all of this that covers it, it came about when the flood came as to the passing away of the first world. And when the waters covered every high hill under heaven, just as the vapor goes up now when the sun draws it up, that atmosphere condenses it. And so that while it was up there, it's kind of like sleet. It turned it into ice and snow, and it didn't release it. It remained so high that the ice and the snow stayed. As a matter of fact, coming out of, I believe it was out of Hawaii not too long ago, I was almost startled. Here we are flying about 30 to 38,000 feet up in the air, way up above the clouds. I'm talking about way, way up above the clouds. Where the jets fly, and all of a sudden I just kind of looking around like that, and I looked out the window, and I had to shake myself. I stopped and looked. I said, "Oh my God, am I looking at that thing right?" And there was a mountain towering up above that jet, right on up above that jet. And I thought, "Lord, this pilot is going around that mountain. That can't be." But I found out it was. It was up there where we were at. So there's some high mountains, and down in South America, there's some of the highest mountains in the world. Had not been for your prayer and fasting, Betty and I have probably been killed on them when we were down there. We really had an experience with it, the brakes going out and whatever. But nonetheless, then, and this is what happened. And I said, and when this happened, then the world tilted. See, the weight of this on those mountains and whatever as to those great places like that, it is called the world to tilt over. And when it tilted over because man and woman had got tilted on their axes. There's husband, there is wife, and there's children. And a third part of that got tilted, which was the woman. And when she got tilted, then that meant that everything that emanated from God and everything in the universe had to be tilted, because God makes all things run in an order as to a continuity. And sure enough, the world, it tilted. The physical world tilted, the natural world tilted. And we can look at it the way science has it, and we know that it's tilted. The sun ordinarily that would have hit it up here to melt that ice doesn't hit it up there anymore. God wanting that ice to hold it in that position, he just let it tilt. And now the sun hits it like this, and the world goes around like this, or the sun around like this. And we come to the equinox at certain times. We spoke of this spiritually. And seeing the world's in that condition, but man is in that condition too. See, man isn't upright anymore. He caused the problem, whereas the Bible said in death didn't come by God, it came by man, and God has done everything he could to eradicate it. So now then we see that man is not upright anymore. He just varies a little bit, and he has to tell what he calls a little white lie. And he has to manipulate just a little bit, and he has to edge around the corners a little bit. No matter how religious he is, he just has to do a little something, you know, and add some little natural thing to his experience, or the frolics of the world, or whatever it might be. And because of that, there was not one single individual from the beginning of the world to the end of the world that was found upright. Let's give a little hand. And the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. All of them have gone astray, and God hath laid upon him, even himself, as to his own body that he made, he come and dwelt, and that is upon Jesus Christ, his Son, the iniquity of us all. And to him being bruised for our transgression, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we are healed. For I am the God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities, and I heal all of your diseases. So then now we're approaching that time when the world is going to be turned upright. And what's going to cause that is the sun is going to begin to get hotter and hotter and hotter and expand out more and more and greater, until it's going to melt down the caps, and it's going to melt down the Arctic, and it's going to release it. And John said, and I looked and I saw the islands fall into the sea. And I looked and I saw the great cathedrals and the great buildings around the world crumble down to the ground. Atlanta, Chicago, all these places, New York. I saw this, he said, because the Bible said there was an earthquake. So great an earthquake as has never been since the world was. And the whole world began to crumble as to the erections of buildings. And of course, that is coming right at the end of your tribulation period. Now, prior to that, there is an earthquake that has got to hit Jerusalem. It's moving on around. Now, there's earthquakes everywhere. And the Bible said one of the signs of the end times would be the earthquakes. So now we've had about 8, I believe it was, in a period of a couple of months or something. And then now there's a great earthquake. It's due to strike Jerusalem. And like we said, with the Iron Curtain falling and that thing, the German wall falling, whatever they call it, these things have come to pass. And now the wall that's called the Wailing Wall will be rent in two, and it will break and it will fall. And old Jerusalem and new Jerusalem will come together, and they'll be one. And it isn't too far away. And this great earthquake will happen. And when this great earthquake happens, it's along about the middle of the week of Daniel's last week. And the earth, other great earthquake is toward the last of Daniel's week. And right after this earthquake happens, then they will dry up. You remember speaking of the river, how they would dry up the river. And this river that the people of the east would go across, there would be hundreds and millions of people that will cross this great river. And they'll go across there to Jerusalem, to encompass Jerusalem, as to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel, which was about 500 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And they will bring to pass what we call the abomination of desolation. Great problems will come to the Jews, and they'll be ravished and be killed. And the Bible said the suffering of these people will be so great as never has been to a people, never in the history of the world. So when you see this, you know that will be the end. Well, after we had talked to you about that river, if you remember, it came to pass that the papists published a little article from the Holy Land and from that area, and said all of a sudden they have discovered there's a real problem in that area because of the lack of water. Because the people had learned that they could dam up this river. And in damming it up, they could cut it off and turn it into power and into electricity, which they did. And they could keep it dammed up maybe for a number of years and have this electricity, which meant that there'd be a lot of problems. While Betty and I were over in Egypt, and that great drought that we spoke of and saw in the vision was hitting there, they had great problems there because the River Nile had been so low, it dropped so low that people for hundreds and hundreds of miles were in jeopardy as to perishing. Well, anyway, they published this and they said that they had now obtained this power and this ability. All right, so then that makes it just perfect. Everything is set now that at the certain time, as to the communication, as to that which is alien to Israel, that is against Israel anyway, they'll just boycott together and then they'll kind of pull the string and the waters will go back and then they'll go over on dry shot and millions of people, especially like the Chinese and whoever. You know, you remember in your lessons when you was in school, Marco Polo discovering the spices of the East. See, those people are considered those of the East, and they just go right down through there and go against Jerusalem. The reason is because salvation is of the Jew, and the Bible said in that day, the Lord shall set his throne in that era as to the coming of the millennium, and no matter what happens, as to religious boycott, which will come to pass just as an army boycott, when all will confederate to one great army, which Gorbachev is pulling for now, which would bring to pass the abomination of desolation. One command from Antichrist and all the armies would move at one time and around Jerusalem. We spoke of that. See, just as that's happening, other things, many other things are taking place to fulfill the prophecies that show the end time. And so this ice is going to melt, as we said. Right after we'd made this statement, whether it be coincidental or not, as all these things happen, it has been my prerogative in life that when we have said things, then all of a sudden the news media's come out with it, or the newspapers come out with it with a regularity. Or God sends us somewhere in the world as to an allegoric type to that very spot to fulfill it. Even as when he sent us to Norway, the land of the midnight sun. Right after we'd made these statements, then the papers published that, strangely enough, within the, was it the last 130 years? Can't remember exactly. But anyway, we made mention of it. That sun has increased in heat. They've discovered it all of a sudden that it has increased. And then all of a sudden they had discovered that right at this present time, that the heat indicators around the world, mind you, not just in one place, that the heat had increased all over the world. And had increased in Siberia and Alaska to the extent that it was 25 degrees hotter than it had been before. In Arizona, it had moved up so hot that they could fry sausage and fry an egg on the sidewalk. And George Jr. called me yesterday, and he said, Dad, it's about 118 degrees, 120 degrees here in Nevada. And he said, Joseph and I said, we got up on the roof to do some work. And said, I had on my tennises and I just sat down and laid my foot over like that. And said, lo and behold, when I picked my feet up, my tennises had melted. And he said, it's so hot that they, in the places out there, they don't have enough air to get airlift. And in many places, they're having to ground the great big jets And he said, we're having with the regularity crashes one after another. And of course, the papers went on to carry that for the last 10 years, scientists has discovered that the Arctic, as to this great body of ice, has got smaller and smaller. And then they've discovered that all of a sudden, not been able to account for it, except by means of global heat, they've discovered that 55 square miles, I believe it was, of a glacier, or that is of a snow cap, that it hath melted and gone, and they can't locate it. They say they know it was there, but it was gone. I said that to show again, Mr. Gorbachev, moving on over calendar-wise into the tribulation period, and that the 92 into 93 will bring in the world common market as to Israel. We said much about that and how that would bring the Antichrist and how it would affect the different ones and how Rothschild would have to do with it and Fairchild and all these kind of things. So how the nations will boycott against Israel, and it will be a derivative from that. So then, you that are not born again, you're late. You're running late. You are running late. I said to some of them the other day, talking to them down here at the building they call the Father's House, I said, we're running late. Down in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was said there, the angel said, Lot, we've got to get out of here. And Lot kept tarrying. He just kept waiting because his family was there. His riches was there. His life was there. And a lot of people are in that kind of condition. They keep waiting. The Lord keeps calling to you, saying, let whosoever will come. It's getting late. The shadows are falling. And finally, the angel said, we've got to get out of here. And they reached over, as we say, and they got Lot by the hand. And out they went, because they said, we can do nothing until you get out of here. We're sent to destroy this place, they would say. And you need to get out of here. You know, that means that God can't do anything until we get out of here, folks. And the angels are camped round about us. And they're saying, come on, folks, you're running late. Let's get out of here. Those angels don't want the wrath of God on them. And they're saying, let's get out of here. And even the church angels, as to the church messengers, they're saying, let's get out of here, because the wrath of God is fixing to come on these people. He's finished with them. 430 years of the wrath of God was to come upon those Egyptians, because God was to send a deliverer and bring them out with a mighty hand. And the Bible said, Lot being a type of the church, the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came. So Sodom and Gomorrah, gaze, perversion, all of a sudden, that's what this world is. 500,000, a half a million turned out for it. The paper gives the statistics as being supposedly 700,000, I believe it is, that has AIDS. And even little babies. Over in Romania, little babies are dying with AIDS. See, and God said, in these diseases shall come upon you, all of these diseases of Egypt and all of these diseases that's mentioned in the book, and all of these diseases that's not mentioned in the book, such as AIDS, it'll come to pass, they'll come on. He said, but if you walk upright, I won't let any of these evils come upon you that come upon the Egyptians. And it was said that during the time of the Israelite wandering, that not one of them's feet so much as swelled. He kept his word. Their garments didn't even wax old. He supplied all of our need. All right, so then we know now that the deliverance is at hand. We know the revelation is here. We know that Christ is delivering. And we know that the world doesn't see it. Because, as Brother Branham said one time, this will pass right through your midst as to this third pull, and right through the church, and they'll never see it. And sure enough, people are so worldly-minded in the churches as to having ball teams and all these kind of things. They're so gullible in their desire for the natural that they're in the condition that Peter was in when Peter said, nay, Lord, not knowing that he was carnally minded, the Lord recognized the devil and said, get behind me, devil. And as it was when he chose Judas, one of them being a devil, the 12. See, he said, I chose a devil. And he obtained part of that ministry. And then after that, he failed with transgression and went out and hanged himself and his entrails rotten and burst out. So then, with your form-fitting clothes as the men, and your shorts and your baseball and your volleyball and your golfing and your eating and drinking and fussing and passion, and women with their split skirts and low necks and cut out, rooted out, and all these kind of things, you know, the bobbed off hair, and all these kind of things. And I know that people that are out in the world that don't know anything about that, I understand that, and the end can't come until the gospel be preached to every creature. But folks, it's just about gone there by radio, TV, satellite publications. It's just about been published in all the world for a witness. And now, he said, when that happened, the end would come. And so we are here today. Here's people from Africa, the dark continent of Africa, as it's referred. And here they are from the place of the Philippines, where communists is fighting all the time, trying to overrun the place and a threat to those people's life. And all around the different parts of the world. Some are supposed to be here from India, where we've ministered to the people there, and yet they couldn't make it this time. And then there's a brother that's coming in here tonight, is it? Betty from Singapore, Brother Richard Gond. Today, he's coming in today. He'll probably maybe be ministering to you tonight. We ministered for him there in Singapore. A man who loves the Lord. See, all around the world, in my little old bit, I preached around the world. And then there is the others that have done far greater than I have. And then, of course, not too long ago, we were walking down the streets of Jerusalem, prophesying down the streets of Dolorosa. I spoke of this the other night, prophesying that the time was fulfilled in our ministry in literature as well as preaching. It went out all over Jerusalem. And then now all of a sudden we get a letter from a brother that's over in old Jerusalem there in the old city saying, come, Brother Pike, and join with me. I preach for him over there. He's a Baptist brother. And let help us to set up the kingdom of God in Jerusalem. And sure enough, we got a chance to buy that property there, and it looks like it's coming in our favor in spite of all. Brother Labad, what's his name? Malad. I got it backwards. Brother Malad. My wife's still correcting me. But anyway, we got it right now. Brother Malad, he says, Brother Pike, don't fret. Said, I got your beautiful letter, and they were well pleased with our proposal as to what we want to do. And he said, and everything still looks good. He said, the man, that is to say the landlord, he's a little bit edgy about it. Said he's kind of going and coming as to selling the property. Said because he's afraid that you'll give it to the or sell it to the Jews. And of course, he's an Arab. And it's nigh impossible to get anything in the old city. But God is still working. And you pray, because some of you have contributed toward this. And you pray that we'll be able to go on with this, and the Lord will provide the means, and we'll buy that place in Jerusalem. I believe we will, don't you? How do you believe we will? I believe if we'll pray and believe God that he'll, I feel like he's already put it in our hands. All right. So then I said all these things to try to come to a summary. Where does that put you and me? Seeing that all of these things is about to come upon the world. Seeing that in spite of all of your philosophy and your science, falsely so called, all of your reasoning as to you being such a great person and you had it all figured out and it's many years and, you know, you can ball game around and you can flirt around and you can, and the Bible said in that day, if I come and find that servant so doing, I'll appoint him his part with the hypocrite. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if you notice, he used the term servant. He didn't say son, because there's not going to be any sons that's appointed to wrath. But that religious person that's in there, a believer, but still a servant. Now they're doing service for God. So he said, he that I find so doing as to feeding the flock and giving food in due season, I will make him ruler over all I've got when I come. So then, where are you and I? What are we doing? What is our interest? What is our program? What is our plans? What are we doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? I said last night, could we say wasted years? Wasted years? Oh, how foolish. As I stumble along in sin and shame. Turn around. Turn around. The Lord is calling. He's calling you. Calling Brother Pike. Calling you. What I say to one, I say unto all. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. everything that you've done for the flesh, everything that you've done for yourself, whether it's eat, drink, buy, sell, work, have business, make money, whatever, is a total loss. You don't retain any of that. The Bible said that you brought nothing into this world. And it is for sure, he said, that you're going to take nothing out. You may have money, you have whatever, but as Solomon said, you'll leave it to a fool and you'll go before God without even garments. For naked came I into the world from my mother's womb, and naked I return. So you don't retain anything, not even one gift. If you're a singer, if you have a skill, if you have an ability, the Lord is upset and he said, take that talent and give it to someone else. And he takes away your skill, your ability. As the angel said to Daniel, I've come to give you skill. If you are any way proportionally in appearance as to looking right, he'll take that away from you and turn you into a freak. And if your face looks any way presentable, and if you've given your time to that and the powder and the paint and the looking and the believing and the grinning and the flirting, he'll turn that into a freak as to a devil, and into the lake of fire you go. And then the real you, as to the inner you, as to one with Satan, having used that body for gullible desires and passion, it's gone. It's gone. And you find yourself wretched, naked and blind, stripped of everything, and there you are in hell, gnashing on people with your teeth, and people gnashing on you with their teeth. And folks, I ask again, where are you? Who are you? Are you sons of God? Now, beloved, I'm a son of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Are you a son of God? You are a son of something, you know. And if you're a son of God, that's wonderful. If you're a daughter of the Lord, that's wonderful. You are a God and you're eternal, and you have all things that pertain unto life, as to youth and health and strength, understanding, as to the magnificence of God that will be eternal. Where is the church world? Somebody says they're waiting for the rapture at the ball game. Let's give the Lord another hand. Somebody says, well, they might not be at the ball game. Well, maybe they'll be at the horse races or the car races. Who knows? They could even be at the movies. Somebody said, well, I don't know, they might not be there. Well, the Bible said they could be in the bed sleeping, and they could be dreaming about the ball games or having a nightmare. Who knows? You know? But there's one thing about it. People with the love of the world in them, the love of God isn't there, so that means they have the mind of the devil. And the devil keeps them into captivity, takes them into captivity. His will is to lust and whatever. So that means that the mind of the devil's in them. And it's for sure that wherever they're at, they're lusting. For the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy. And the Bible teaches that that is your candle light. And he said that if you don't repent, I'll come and move your candlestick. And the Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. Which means when he comes, there won't be any more life. Right, let's read chapter 18 and we'll let you go. Talk to you so long. Revelation chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, think now, all nations, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of a fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundancy of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of a torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and the pearl and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odor and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with a fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and forever, or and ever. All right, so then we see, who could that be but the world? Who could the great whore be but Rome, the city that sits on seven hills? And who could this be where all the craftsmen are gone and all the goods are gone but the world that's passed away? So then, ye that are of the world, you'll pass away. You'll pass away, and the Bible says, and the heavens will pass away with you. You'll pass away. The heavens will pass away, as to the heaven that John saw Lucifer in, which is the heaven that's in effect. It will pass away, and the dragon will be cast out, and the expulsion shall come, and the blood that brings grace shall be taken off of the judgment of the mercy seat, and the judgment seat will come forth, as to the Ancient of Days. And we could elaborate quite a bit on that. But the whole world will be in jeopardy. For the Bible said, Then shall be revealed God, even the consuming fire, the Ancient of Days, whose hair is as white as wool. And the Bible said, And there will be a fire that will devour before him. For there remaineth only one thing when you reject God, and that's the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation that shall devour God's adversaries. All right, so then we talked to you a little bit, and that's all we're going to do. I'd like for you to stand with me. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we?
At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away.
Can you sing?
It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day.
Sing it again.
For at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all day. And there's room at the cross for you, the altars are open. And there's room at the cross for you.
Let's everybody come to the altar this morning, seeing that the tribulation period is upon us. The end of the days of the Gentiles are here. I believe you can see that. And that, like that moon last night, that was so glorified in appearance. You know, it was just so beautiful that at any moment you just almost expected Christ Jesus to step out on the clouds and appear there in heaven. Might be good if all of us come to the altar this morning, kind of renewed our covenant with the Lord and asked the Lord to help us, to give us a new lease on life, to help us get a hold of this wonderful thing called the revealing of the Son of God. For surely, 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 He will come. He promised, and He will not tarry. He will come. He will come. You love Him? Okay, let's sing this little chorus.
Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Can you sing it?
Just come in to and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Glad to have Brother Tommy Merritt with us back there. Tommy's been with us through just about the whole revival. I didn't know it till yesterday. I thought perhaps he'd come. We're certainly glad to have him. Do you love the Lord? Would you like for him to come into your heart? Would you lift your hands up? Close your eyes, and would you really truly talk to Jesus now? And if you never made that commitment to the Lord in thoughts, and I'm persuaded to believe that He's able to keep that great commitment that I've committed unto Him against that great day. And if you believe that, then let's make a commitment unto the Lord today. Let's give our hearts to God. Let's give our souls to God. Let's be one of them. The songwriter said, I'm so glad that I can say, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. All right, let's sing it again now.
So come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in. Just come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
All right, all together now, we're going to sing this song, I Will Praise Him. Can you sing with me?
And I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all you people. blood has washed away. Yes. Once again now, I'll sing together. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And give Him.
Once again, we're going to sing this.
And I.
So often we have our little girls and boys to come and kneel, and you can tell that this affects them. For the Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God hath perfected praise. And He said, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, for lest you become innocent like that little child, they whose spirit has never come to the age of accountability, ye shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to be pure. Got to be innocent. Got to trust in God the same way they trust in their parents. While we sing this together, we're going to give the Lord a wave offering. Can you close your eyes once again and lift your hands? I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's the reminder to God that Jesus at Calvary engraved you in the palms of His hands, that He, as God, should never forget you. Every day, God has His mind on you, every moment of the day. And the Bible says you, like sheep, have gone astray, and every man has turned to his own way. And the Bible said the ox, He knows the owner, the ass is to the crib or the ox. He said, but my people don't consider, and they've forgotten me days without number. But He's never forgetting you. You may have a lot of things to occupy your mind to keep you busy, but you're His darling children, and He never forgets you. And the angels of the Lord, like mothers, and camp around about you to watch over you to see that everything is right. So we will praise. We will praise Him. I'm going to ask Brother Bob from California to come and dismiss us, if he will. Brother Bob, sing with me now. I'm glad to have Brother Tommy and his wife. I see his wife here.
Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away.
Once again now, we're going to sing together. Do you feel the Lord in your heart?
And I...